Please turn with me to Luke chapter 18. And let's look at the last part of verse number 8. Jesus Christ, in the scriptures before verse number 8, taught a parable illustrating the need for persistence in prayer. And then he comes to verse number 8 after giving that parable, and he asks, I think, one of the most stunning questions of all the questions that he asked during his ministry, a question that has echoed down throughout the ages. Let's notice Luke chapter 18, verse number 8. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And this is what I want to focus in on, the last part of verse number 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Again, when you stop and contemplate all the questions that Christ asked during his ministry as he was teaching, he asked this particular question that was so, so important to him. Because most likely, he was looking into the future just before he was about to return, and he wondered, will he really find people that are faithful to God's word when he returns? The word faith here in verse number 8 comes from a Greek word which means persuasion, assurance, or belief. Persuasion, assurance, or belief. The implication of the last part of verse number 8 is that when he returns, he will actually find little faith on the earth. William Barclay in the New Daily Study Bible asks this question to this verse. He says this, will human faith stand the long delays before the Son of Man should come? It is so extremely important for you and I as disciples to maintain our faith, our belief, as time progresses towards the return of Jesus Christ. Please turn to Genesis chapter 15. We went through this in the Bible study series, but there's an example here that we talked about, the example of Abraham and the great faith of the man Abraham. And in fact, his example of faith was so great that it was repeated in the Bible in the New Testament. Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6. Of course, this is the section of Scripture where God makes a formal covenant with Abraham. And the reason why God makes this covenant with Abraham is given here in verse number 6. Verse number 6 of Genesis 15, and he believed in the Lord, and he, referring to God, accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham's belief, his faith, equals righteousness. And you know, this is the only place in the Old Testament where this particular formula is used, that of belief or faith equaling righteousness. And it's with the example of Abraham. And this foundational truth of faith and belief is so important that it's repeated three times in the New Testament. Twice by the Apostle Paul, and once by James, to show the relationship between belief and faith equaling righteousness. Abraham, indeed, was a great man of faith who walked with God and was in constant communication with God, as we have seen throughout the Genesis series. So a couple of questions now. How is it that Abraham had this kind of belief in the promise that God had given? And another question, can we, you and I, have that kind of faith like Abraham? The title of today's sermon is Strengthening Our Faith Through Strong Belief. Strengthening Our Faith Through Strong Belief. Today, let's learn how to strengthen our faith in God. And to do that, we will learn three basic principles to strengthen that faith through a powerful belief. Strengthening our faith through a powerful belief. Because you see, faith and belief are connected together. They go hand in hand. Notice here in verse number 6, we see our English word, believed, that Abraham believed in the Lord. Our English word, believe, comes from a Hebrew word that means to be persuaded of God's revealed truth. To be persuaded of God's revealed truth. The new Bible commentary adds this: the verbal form of this word suggests an ongoing activity on the part of Abraham. In other words, he kept believing the promise. He kept relying and trusting in God. It wasn't just he believed once and done, one and done, over with. He kept believing in God. And we see that in the example of his life. Abraham went through many, many trials, and yet he continually trusted in God and walked with him. And his belief is talked about in the New Testament. The Bible Knowledge Commentary adds this: Abraham's faith is recorded here because it is foundational for making the covenant. A very foundational part of that covenant. You know, the foundation is the part that holds up any structure. And the foundation of the covenant was Abraham's belief, his faith in God. So, this word believed in from the Hebrew means to be persuaded of God's revealed truth. That's from the Old Testament. Now let's take a few minutes and examine this term believe in the New Testament. Because, as I said, we're talking about strengthening our faith through strong belief. Let's go to Acts chapter 17 to examine the word believe in the New Testament. Acts chapter 17, and we will be reading verses 1 through 4. In this section of Scripture, we find Paul and Silas coming to the city of Thessalonica. The Thessalonian church. Thessalonica was a city of something like 200,000 people. It was a huge city back in the ancient world. And it was a city of a mixed culture. In other words, a melting pot of various peoples. Peoples from all over the Middle Eastern world, including a lot of Jews, lived in the city of Thessalonica. So let's start in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 1. Now when they, referring to Paul and Silas, had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. So Paul and Silas come to the city of Thessalonica. They come to a synagogue. And I've talked about this before, that the synagogue, the Jews' synagogue, had what they called the ruler of the synagogue. And the ruler of the synagogue would invite teachers, well-known teachers, to come and preach in the synagogue. And they also had an individual that was responsible for bringing out a scroll to be read from either the law and the prophets. And that's what happened when Jesus Christ went to the synagogue. The ruler invited him to come and speak and teach, and then a scroll was brought out, and he expounded from that. So a similar thing is going to happen with Paul, where he's invited to speak, and then the scroll is brought out, which he begins to expound upon. Verse number 2. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. This is also one of those scriptures that tells us that Paul worshipped and kept the Sabbath day. And for 3 continuous Sabbaths, he went into the synagogue and expounded from the Scriptures. Notice what he was expounding in verse number 3. Explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." Most likely he had turned to perhaps Isaiah 53 or Psalm 22 and was expounding about the suffering that Jesus Christ was had gone through as he was teaching. Then notice verse number 4, and this is what I want to focus on. And some of them were persuaded. A great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. So apparently some of the Jews there were persuaded, and also some of the Gentiles as well, Greeks and some other leading peoples. But we also see in verse number 5 that some of the Jews were not persuaded. Now this word, our English word persuaded, and if you're reading in the Old King James, I believe it's written believed, comes from a Greek word which means, which is a verb form of believe. It's a verb form of believe. So we could substitute, I'm reading from the New King James here, some of them believed, as the Apostle Paul expounded from the Scriptures. This particular Greek word, and I'll spell it for you, is P-E-I-T-H-O, P-E-I-T-H-O, peitho, which again is a verb form of believe. Another similar verb from the Greek is the word pisteuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, and it means to have faith in or to believe. So again, we saw in the Old Testament example and also in the New Testament example that belief and faith go hand in hand. And some of these people that were listening to Paul did believe as he expounded the Scriptures. In the New Testament, the Greek word for faith is almost in every case the same word as belief. In the Gospels, Matthew used the word 10 times. Mark also used the word 10 times. Luke 9, and John 99 times. The Companion Bible says this about verse number 4, about these people that believed. It says this: they were convinced, not by persuasive words of Paul, but by the opening and the expounding of the Scriptures. So it wasn't, you know, any fancy words that Paul was using or that he was such an eloquent speaker. It's because he was reading from the Scriptures and they understood and believed. God began to work with their minds to open their minds to that understanding. They believed, and as a result, their faith was increased. You and I, as disciples, want to have our faith increase. We want to be among the faithful when Jesus Christ returns, don't we? So for the rest of the sermon time, let's examine three principles to strengthen our faith. Three principles to strengthen our faith. Number one, ask God to strengthen your belief. Ask God to strengthen your belief, which and again will increase your faith because they go hand in hand. Let's go to Mark chapter 9, the book of Mark, chapter 9. And just to summarize this particular story, there was a young lad who was having seizures, convulsions, apparently had some kind of demon influence, and the disciples could not cast this out of this young lad. So they brought him to Jesus Christ. So let's go to Mark chapter 9 and let's look at verses 21 through 24. Mark chapter 9, verse number 21. Let's pick it up in verse number 20. Then they brought him to him, this young lad, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Quite a sight. Verse number 21. So he, Jesus Christ, asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, and the Father pleads for mercy here, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Very important statement from Jesus Christ. Then notice the answer from the Father in verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, very emotional, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. He asked Jesus Christ for that. And you know, all of us as human beings, we have those times when we struggle with doubt. We have our human emotions, things, problems that come along. But this individual took the right course of action by asking Christ for help. And he was very emotional about it, asking Christ for this help. Help my unbelief. We can, as disciples as well, ask God to strengthen our belief. Hebrews chapter 11. I've been talking about the fact that faith and belief go hand in hand. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter. In fact, verse number 1 is a good definition, biblical definition of faith. So we're talking about faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Notice verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Dr. Ward often says that all things spiritual begin with what we're reading in verse number 6. Verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, notice, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is absolutely mandatory for those who approach God. And here in verse number 6, we see that there's two parts to this. One must believe that God is, and he also must be, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So looking at the first part of this, ask God that he strengthens your belief in who he is, the great God that he is, the magnificence of his power as creator. We're just about to approach springtime when the flowers begin to bloom, daffodils and all the flowers, and the beauty of creation. It's such a great thing to look out and see, you know, wow, what a beautiful thing that God has created, the magnificence of his power. We must believe that he exists, that he is the one, the only righteous, all-powerful being. And that's something, again, that we can comprehend through the magnificence of creation, as it states in verse number 3 of Hebrews chapter 11. We must always keep the big picture in mind, believing God. And that's what's so important about the holy days. And we're going to be approaching the spring holy days. It's going to be coming up very, very fast. That God has a plan for all of mankind. That we're not just here, just going through our lives and that's it. That he has a plan. And it's a marvelous plan. And to have continually reflect upon that strengthens our belief. The second part of the verse, there also must be a conviction that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hold your finger or put a marker here in Hebrews chapter 11. And let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Well-known scripture to each and every one of us. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. That's talking about those who have a relationship with God. To those who are called according to his purpose. God does have our best interests at heart. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those that want to have that relationship, that special relationship with him. And that increases our faith. That's what it tells us here in Hebrews chapter 11. Again, reflecting upon God's great magnificence, that he exists. belief in that, and also that he rewards those who diligently seek him. William Barclay puts it like this. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hope you held your place there. William Barclay adds this. He says, "We must believe not only that God exists, but also that God cares." God cares for each and every one of us. And again, faith and belief goes hand in hand. Ask God, number one, to strengthen your belief. Number two, obedience strengthens our belief. Obedience strengthens our belief. Belief leads to action, to doing. We'll continue on here in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to see in verses 7 and 8 two examples of individuals, of men who believed God and it led them to action, to obedience. Verse number 7. By faith, and again, we've been talking about belief and faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, so God warned him that he's going to judge the earth because of its wickedness. And that moved him to do something. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And there's that righteousness being equated to faith again. But we see the example here of Noah. He believed God. He took action. He obeyed God. He began to build that huge, huge ark, which was a huge, enormous undertaking back in those ancient times, amidst all the criticism, the ridicule of the people around him. Why are you making this tremendous boat? Are you loco? But he was obedient. And again, it's an example of belief. Verse number 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Notice the connection there. Faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. God said, get away from your homeland, get away from your family, and go to a place that I will show you. And Abraham obeyed. No questions asked. He packed up, moved all those things. 1,000-mile journey. And again, we saw what that equated to, obedience and righteousness. A simple definition of faith is this: to believe God and do what he says. Let me repeat that. A simple definition of faith is to believe God and do what he says. A principle of faith in the godly examples that we see is obedience, and godly belief leads to doing. We have a lot of different examples in the scriptures that we can look to of obedience. One is Abraham, another is Noah. Let's take a look at another, and let's go to Genesis chapter 46. We'll be touching on this next month in the Bible study when we get there. This particular example has to do with Jacob. Genesis chapter 46. And we will be reading verses 2 through 6. Genesis 46. Let's pick it up in verse number 1. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Verse number 2. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here I am. Here I am. God spoke to Jacob, and Jacob responded, Here I am. To put it in modern vernacular, it'd be like saying, Yes, sir. What do you want me to do? It's an attitude that Jacob had, to do what God wants us to do. Later on, we're going to see when we get to the book of Exodus, that this same formula that was used to Moses, God called out Moses, 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 and Moses answered with the same response, here I am, what do you want me to do? Verse number 5. So Jacob responded, here I am, yes, sir. Verse number 3. So he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you a great nation. You know, this wasn't easy for Jacob. That where they were at in Hebron was where Abraham and Isaac had established their home base, and Jacob had as well. And so now he's being asked to pack up everything, including all the extended family, and go to Egypt. And Jacob said, yes, sir. Verse number 5, here's Jacob's response. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, their wives, in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry them. So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and notice, and they went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him. Trusting, obedience, and faith, and Jacob did what God asked him to do. Another example that we can turn to, and I'll just summarize, because I believe Mr. Blankenship talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow down to the idol that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. A decree was sent out that all the people in the land are to bow down to this idol and worship. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not do that. Otherwise, if anybody that would not bow down would be thrown, cast into the fire. Let's go there real quickly to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Daniel chapter 3, and pick it up in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Complete trust and faith and belief in God that they would be delivered from this fiery furnace. Verse number 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And you know the rest of the story, that God did intervene for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and delivered them from the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar and all his people around him took note of that. These three men did not know if God would truly intervene for them, but they were determined to remain faithful to God regardless of what happened. An example of faithful obedience. This particular example, along with the other ones, Jacob, Abraham, Noah, etc., in the scriptures, helps to encourage us, you and I, to have faith and believe that God can help us in our times of need. When we have difficult circumstances, God can help us. If we put God first in our lives, He promises not to abandon us. Regardless of whether He chooses to intervene for us, God has said, I will never leave nor forsake you. Number 3, the third way to strengthen our faith through belief. Prayer and study of God's word strengthens our belief. Prayer and study of God's word strengthens our belief. You know, we say this time and time again in messages, don't we? You've probably heard this echoed throughout the years, however long you've been in the church. Prayer and the study of God's word. But honestly, from a human standpoint, it's the thing that can so easily get away from us. We get involved in our human activities, our daily things that we do, and pretty soon you start to say, oh, I need to sit down and study God's word. And it can get away from us so very quickly. But it's a means of strengthening our belief. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And of course, this was the section of Scripture where Jesus Christ was walking along with the disciples, teaching and instructing them, also encouraging them and helping them, because he knew what they were going to be facing, the difficult trials when they would begin to go out and preach the gospel message. But he promised that there was help coming in the form of the Holy Spirit to help them in the mission that they had. John chapter 16 and verse number 7. John 16, verse number 7. This is Christ talking to the disciples and talking to us as disciples as well. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. That's Jesus Christ telling us as disciples the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send it to you. Talking about the Holy Spirit that would come on the day of Pentecost to give them that help that they would need. Verse number 8. And when it is come, it will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Notice this word convict here. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to be helping the disciples with and help us as well. This word convict, when we examine it from the original Greek, is like a weight being placed on the mind. This conviction takes place in connection with the Word of God to lead and guide us and help us. Verse number 13. However, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, notice, it will guide you into all truth. Guide you into all truth. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for us. And what is truth? Let's flip over a page. John 17 and verse number 17. As Christ was praying for the disciples, he said this: sanctify them, disciples, by your truth. Your word is truth. So the Holy Spirit, in connection with God's word, guides us along our way as disciples. Romans chapter 10. Then there's something about this word that has to be done. It has to be preached. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul talking to the brethren and writing to the brethren in Rome here. Verse number 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? There's that word belief again. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, how can that belief be strengthened if you're not hearing the word? Verse number 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Then he sums all this up in verse number 17 and says this: so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Preaching of God's word is necessary. That's why we're all here today, to hear God's word preached, so that we can grow and develop character. And the word is committed to the preacher. Verse number 17, what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. Spiritual faith comes from the calling and when the mind is opened up. And faith comes from hearing. Hearing God's word. And we can add studying God's word as well. God draws and opens our minds by means of his Spirit to understand. And then we take that further by digesting his word and growing in it. Let's go back to the book of Acts. And let's pick up where I left off. We talked about some of the people in Thessalonica who heard the word preached and believed, but then there were some that did not believe. And actually, there was quite an uproar that took place in the city. And then Paul and Silas move on, and they come to another city. Let's notice that in Acts chapter 17 again. Acts chapter 17. Verses 10 through 12. Acts 17, verse number 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. So they left from Thessalonica, and they come to another city, the city of Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews, again, to expound and teach upon God's word. But notice the difference here in verse number 11. These, the people of Berea, were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So these people, they took it in, these Bereans. And this is one of those great examples of studying God's word and applying it, again, with all readiness. Search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And that led to something. Verse number 12. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. I have a line drawn in my Bible from verse number 11, from the word searched, where it says search the scriptures, down to the word in verse number 12, believed. Because searching the scriptures, taking that in with all readiness, leads one and strengthens your belief. The key here, they searched the scriptures, therefore many of them believed. And this word believed comes from that Greek word, again, that means to have faith in, hence to believe. Faith and belief going hand in hand. A couple more scriptures as we begin to wind down now. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Seems like I've turned there quite a bit lately. The parable of the sower and the seed, where Jesus Christ took on a different form of preaching. He went from preaching in the synagogues where the scroll was handed to him and he expounded to giving parables to the people. And this very first parable was the parable of the sower and the seed. The sower representing the word being sown and the different reactions to the gospel message as it was preached. And what I want to focus in on in chapter 13, let's pick it up in verse number 11. Matthew 13, verse number 11. Verse number 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Because they noticed he had shifted the way his method of speaking now, his method of teaching, from simply expounding from the scroll and the synagogue to giving parables now, teaching. Why do you speak to them in parables? And he said to them, because it has been given to you, you disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. You disciples, God is opening your mind to an understanding that the masses do not understand. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. But notice verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And that includes each and every one of us as well. We've been blessed to have God open our minds to the understanding that we have of the Sabbath day, of the holy days, of his plan of salvation. And that's why we're here, learning and growing and studying. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's us. And you and I have this most valuable resource from God. And we need to take advantage of it each and every day of our lives. And it will strengthen our faith. Let's go back to where we started for the final scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Because in this third point, I've been talking about prayer and study, increasing our faith. And we've looked at some scriptures related to studying. So in this final scripture, let's talk about persistence in prayer and how that strengthens our faith as well as we begin to close. Luke chapter 18, this time we will read verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Notice that phrase, always, persistently to pray and not lose heart. Verse number 2. Then he puts it into parable form to illustrate this thought of being persistent in prayer. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. One of the typical judges of the world doesn't fear God. He's only about doing what he's doing. Now therefore, there was a woman, a widow, in verse number 3, in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." Now the details aren't given on what kind of justice she was asking for. She just wanted justice. Verse number 4, and he would not for a while. So he began to put this widow lady off. I don't really want to listen to her. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." So this particular lady was persistent in getting justice. And she kept coming back to this unjust judge. Till finally he said, "I'm going to give her that justice because of her persistence." And of course, Christ is using this parable to show the need for persistence in prayer. Verse number 6. Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out to him night, day and night, though he bears long with them?" Day and night, those that are on their knees praying and asking God for help, being persistent in prayer. The implication here, the Bible Knowledge Commentary adds this, is that persistent prayer is needed in order to maintain a healthy faith. Again, to have that strengthened belief, prayer and study strengthens it. Then we come to verse number 8, where we began the sermon. "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" So Christ is asking that question, definitely emphasizing the need to persist, continue on, enduring until the end, especially in prayer. So brethren, let's continue to strengthen our faith by asking God to strengthen our belief. We can ask him to help us in that manner. He'd love to hear that from us. Secondly, to be obedient to him, like the many examples we have in the scriptures, because obedience strengthens our faith. And thirdly, by using prayer and God's word to be our anchors of belief. Christ asked this question, this very important question to him in verse number 8. Will he really find faith on the earth when he returns? Let's you and I, as disciples, be among those faithful when he returns.